The Holy Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may extinguish your candles. Be careful not to burn anybody. We want to welcome all of you again. A Merry Christmas to all of you as we celebrate with joy the birth of Jesus. We want to also recognize that not only us are here, but through a TV camera right up there, there are other people in Benson Hall. So to them we say, you're here with us. Do you know that traditionally Christians don't celebrate birthdays? I mean, the birthday of saints? We've always celebrated their deaths. Yeah. The death of everybody. There's only three saints that we celebrate, I mean saints, people we celebrate their birthday. Which of those are? What do you think? Give me the three. Huh? Jesus, that's easy. Huh? Who? Mary. Yeah, Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know when we celebrate her birthday? September 8th. What else? There's someone missing. It's only three. Joseph? No. John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So we have three. And it's strange, right? Makes you wonder why the church is always so focused on death and dying. But we have three. Three birthdays. And I think it had to do with, in the beginning of Christianity, it was a persecutor. It's not Christianity. The first 300 years, we were a little rag band of people. Persecuted, oppressed, a little band of poor people. And many of them had been persecuted and killed. And for them, celebrating the death of the people meant a lot. But around 300, 400 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, we began celebrating Jesus' birth, his birthday, the nativity. So today, I wanted to invite you to go a little bit deeper. We can remain here on the beautiful crescent. That's fine. Celebrate the nostalgic image of the baby being born and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the three kings that are coming. You see them coming up here? They're on their way. When do they come? What is their January 6th, yeah. We can leave it here. But I think the story of Christmas has a profound meaning, has a depth that I think it's worthwhile to meditate upon. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan, a priest, wrote this week. He wrote about a man that is kind of the one who started all this thing about creches and nativity scenes. You know who that guy is? St. Francis. Francis of Assisi. Francis was the big one who started with the idea. And he was really interested in saying, I want people to experience what it was. And he started celebrating the nativity of Jesus with these big creches. And sometimes it were people. And there were sheep and cows and shepherds. And it was a live scene. And people were so amazed. It was so moving and so touching. Richard Rohr talked about it. He said, Francis of Assisi realized that if God had become flesh, taking on the material, the physical, humanity itself, then we don't have to wait for Good Friday and Easter to solve the problem of human sin. The problem was solved from the beginning. And many times we focus so much on the death and resurrection, but the good news started on Christmas Day, even before. The good news that God loves so much the world that God has become flesh. The world, the heavenly world, and the earthly world have become one. In today's gospel story of Luke, besides the Holy Family, Jesus and Joseph, baby Jesus, Joseph and Mary, who else are the protagonists in this story? Two groups. Shepherds. And who are the other ones? The angels. Notice that. It is the presentation of the angels which represent the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm. That is above all. And then on the other side, we have who? The shepherds. And who were the shepherds? Kind of lowly. Some people didn't look at them too kindly. Others, they were well respected. But they were ordinary people who lived out in the fields, taking care of these sheep, these flocks. So Luke says, you know, the story of the birth of Jesus is the story where those who are lowly, and below, the shepherds out in the fields and the angels become one. Heaven and earth are reconciled. Isaiah the prophet said, the people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. There, light and dark are also present. So it is not only, Christmas is not only the story simply of the miracle of this baby born to this loving family of Joseph and Mary in a very hard situation. But it is the bigger story that the spiritual realm and the material realm are one. What we are celebrating today is that there is no separation between earth and heaven, between the material and the spiritual, between the most lofty ideas and the most dark. All belong in God's embracing love. I would like to repeat the prayer that Hugh began. It's a beautiful prayer. O Holy One, heavenly angels spoke to earthly shepherds. See the idea? Heavenly angels spoke to earthly shepherds, and eternity entered time in the child of Bethlehem. And through the telling of the Christmas story, let our temporal lives be caught up in the eternal, in that same child, that we might join shepherds and all the heavenly hosts in praising the coming of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So that is the good news. The good news is that all our lives are imbued with God's presence. Everything is touched by the divine. And what we're celebrating is that God is in every single thing. God becomes flesh in that little baby that is in the manger. But through him, every single part of creation has been touched. Richard Rohr reflected on this beautifully, this meditation this week. Those of you who receive his daily meditations, you can follow it there. Richard wrote, incarnation, which means this enfleshment of God, is the synthesis of matter and spirit. And that should be the primary and compelling message of Christianity. Through the Christ, the seeming gap, the seeming separation between heaven, God, and everything else has been overcome from the beginning. Without some form of incarnation, God remains essentially separate from us and from all of creation. Without incarnation, it is not an enchanted universe, but somehow an empty one. Matter and spirit have always been one, of course, ever since God decided to manifest God's self in the first act of creation. Back then in Genesis, the beginning, the first verse of the Bible, we hear, when God began to create heaven and earth, and the earth then was welter and waste, and darkness over the deep, and God's breath hovering over the waters. And I just can't imagine that. Hovering over the water, the breath of God. And the image is of a bird. It's an eagle that is fluttering above the nest, above its little polluelos, we say in Spanish. I don't know the word in English. Little chicks, yeah. Little chickens, baby eagles. So this eagle is hovering above, and that is the image. From the creation, that which was chaotic, this dark and inky black water that was just a chaos, and over that chaos, the breath of God hovered, imbuing all of it with the breath of the divine. And Richard Rohr continues, Jesus came to reveal that dualism between the spiritual and the worldly, between the secular and the heavenly, are untrue and incomplete. By his very existence, Jesus modeled for us that these two seemingly different worlds are and always have been one. We just couldn't imagine it intellectually until God put them together in one body that we could see and touch and love. What an amazing realization that should shock and delight us all. So today, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, the union of the spiritual and the material, the heavenly and the earthly, the divine and the human, the dark and the light, that are forever united and inseparable. I invite you to recognize how that divine presence is manifested in our lives. And the big problem is when we try to separate them. When we see creation and we can't see the divine in it, this is where we are in this moment in our history, where we're eroding, degrading, disrespecting the creation because we can't see the divine in it. When we imprison thousands of men, especially black men, we are separating ourselves from each other. We are not seeing the divine. When immigrants are being imprisoned, trying to make a better living, put in cages, there, we are not seeing the divine in each other. When we separate ourselves between party lines, and you're this and you're that, we are separating it again. And again and again, that is the trouble, the problem we have in our society. When we are unable to see what God has always seen, God is in the midst, and each and every single blade of grass and human person that is our brother and our sister. So this Christmas day, I invite you to embody, to be like Mary. That is my challenge. Be Mary. You may say, Mary, how lucky was she? She was the mother of Jesus. All of you, all of us, we're all invited to give birth to the Christ. And in a few moments, we're going to be celebrating communion up there. And we'll have bread and we'll have wine and we'll bless them and we'll say, these elements, humble, simple elements, a piece of bread and a little bit of wine, they become imbued with the divine presence. And we say, they are the body and blood of Christ. Augustine once preached and says, that surprises you that they're the blood and these are sacraments. What we see is one thing, but what they mean is a different thing. And Augustine said, and really? What is up there? It's you. It's you that is in that table. You are the body of Christ. And Augustine ended his sermon by saying, be what you see at that table and receive what you are. Be what you can see and receive what you are. So today, come to the table of communion. And I want to invite all of you. You are welcome. This table is not my table. This table is not the table for those who have all the categories checked out and you are worthy to it. No one is worthy. You say, I haven't gone to church in a long time. Well, then it's much better for you. I come here every Sunday. Probably I shouldn't come. You haven't come? Come, it's for you. Oh, my life is a little bit messed up. Precisely. That's the messy. Are we talking about the unity between this divine and the human, the dark and the light? Precisely. Bring in your darkness. Bring in everything. Communion is that. It's the celebration of God saying, I love you as you are. Come. There's something to be fixed? Don't worry, just present it yourself. So today, as you come forward for communion, I want you to think, I am like Mary. As I receive the bread and the wine, as I consume them, I am embodying the light of Christ in my being. And as I go forward, the challenge is, how can I continue to live that truth of being light and embodiment of God in the world? And as we go forward, how can I open my eyes to discover the divine in all that is around me? So as we go out, the invitation would be, open your eyes. Can you see the divine? When you encounter someone that maybe bother you, can I see the Christ in there? In a creature, in an owl, in our dogs, in a beautiful cedar tree, can we open our eyes and discover the divine in each and single element that surrounds us. And probably the most challenging thing is to be able to discover it in ourselves. Sometimes it's easy. Oh yeah, I can see the divine there, over there. In the Hindu tradition, they say namaste. I recognize the divine in you, but sometimes the most difficult is to say it in ourselves. Can I see the divine in me? So today, as you come to communion, be aware, you are filled with the divine. Communion is simply an act, a gesture that embodies that truth. I'd like to end with a prayer. O God, our beloved, you were born of a woman's body. You came that we might look upon you and handle you with our own hands. May we so cherish one another in our bodies that we also be touched by you through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand with me as you're